Good evening.
Good evening.
So tonight we will depart from the usual, our usual Wednesday night together. instead of a lecture or a Dharma talk or or discussion group discussion. Because the recent presidential election has created a lot of feelings and a lot of emotion and maybe a lot of confusion, I thought it would be a good idea if we came together and shared with each other how we feel. Let's talk to each other about how we feel, listen to each other about what's going on with us, and see, try to determine how we should respond to our feelings and our emotions, how we should respond as individuals, and how we might respond as a community. I don't know where this discussion or this process will take us tonight, but I think let's go ahead and see what we can discover. What we want to do tonight is talk about how we ourselves feel and what we believe is the most positive thing to do. Let's not talk about politics. let's not talk about personalities or who we like or who we don't like and that sort of thing. Let's stay away from that and just about ourselves. So this will be very informal. Just if you have something to say, just indicate. And keep it fairly brief. There's many of us here tonight. I'm sure not all of us will get a chance to say something, but let's try to hear as many voices as possible. who has something they would like to say about what's going on with them and in the nation regarding the last election? Yes, please.
Have been very uneasy actually about what has been going on for a long, actually much longer than the election. It's I feel like it's kind of like what we are seeing is a symptom, and I have been this is really nothing that started with the election, from what I can see. It is a very, very long process. And I have been working on it. Personally, it has been very difficult, but I'm actually not as much concerned about the election itself, by itself. Really. Looking at the root cause.
What do you see as the root cause?
The root cause is a society that we have overall, and actually it goes not just Western society, but now it has turned into a global, where society that thinks that it has defeated the laws of physics, and basically that can create arbitrary amount of promises. And basically, create an unsustainable society. Either, unfortunately, that can really lead to a violent situation, or really we need to have some ways of having energy. Because the way I see it, everything is energy. All the human society, you know, physical level and metaphysical level. I don't want to get into the spiritual level, but we seem to have really created a society which thinks that energy Okay. Can we
come back to? I would like us to come back to how we feel about the recent election. How does anybody feel? Scott, how do you feel?
I feel powerless. I feel like my voice has been taken away. And I feel angry at so many people who didn't vote.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Lee?
I feel, at first, of course, like everybody else, I felt just this grief and this horror, you know, at what was happening. But when I look at the emotions, I realize that there are other people out there who are feeling this anger and this pain and this pain of being overlooked or feeling overlooked, feeling as if they've had something that they think is theirs taken away from them. And I realize that this is what at least I myself have struggled with in going through the whole the whole process of meditation, is just finding that anger inside myself and discovering that anger is caused by fear, and then going back to the root of the fear and finding that there's fear of loss or fear of losing something that is precious to you. So it's kind of, I realize that there's like a process that's going on in other people in our country who are not happy with the way that things were these last 8 years, that is very similar to what we go through in looking into ourselves in meditation. And what we have to do, you know, is embrace these feelings in ourselves when we're meditating, because otherwise we can't fight them. They're not going to go away. And I feel as if maybe if there's some way that we can, you know, work to help people through this, you know, people that we come across in everyday life, to get through these feelings and to look into them and to examine what causes them really clearly. And it's not just, you know, that, oh, somebody's taking my jobs away, or, you know, some other religion is, you know, against us or something like that. Just really, where does this come from?
Thank you. Yes, please.
This sort of continued a trend in my life in which the things that really get to me come out of the blue. They're not things that I expect. And this election hit me like a sucker punch. I really didn't expect it to turn out the way it did, and I was very surprised that it did, and I was very angry that it did, and very sort of anxious that I did. So I meditated on my feelings, and something that occurred to me was the Buddhist lesson that of impermanence, that this too will change, that my feelings will change. I was having a bad day, but that's going to change. The whole outcome of everything that's going on is impermanent and will change, and that helped me sort of mollify my feelings.
So the teachings helped.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yes, Hernan.
Talking about teachings, I was also pretty shocked by the lecture, but trying to remember the practice. I think here we try to see reality as it is, one of the things we try to do. And the reality, and me living 2 years in Alabama, is not easy to accept that I think there are two very different countries inside this country. And that in many senses, these two countries have very little in common, and they do not understand each other. So taking that as the acceptance, it made me think about what Chun Suzuki said once about the difficulties could be treasures as weeds, and that weeds can be treasures. So although as difficult as it is, thinking the practice, maybe all this later, everything's happened, could be seen as a way to be treacherous, because from these ways, we learn from the opportunities for learning, as difficult as it could be. And if we read here, it says, beings are numberless, I vow to save them. So these beings is, in my case, is just the Democrats, or is everyone? So maybe we have to think how we save those that are different from us.
Mm, thank you. Yes, Vanessa.
I've in some ways enjoyed the process of having my worldview completely, maybe not shattered, but fractured severely. It's been very, very, very unsettling, and I think I'm grateful for that, because it's really made me examine the things that I thought were true. The values that I took for granted as being somehow universal, the values that I hold dear, that I was taught, that I thought that, as far as I can see, people around me share, and I see that there's a boundary beyond which I can't see, where these things are not, they're not thought of in the same way. And it's very, very humbling to me. It's been a very humbling experience, and one that's really made me realize that I need to open my eyes and listen better and look better and really look beyond my comfort zone, look outside of my comfort zone, and go to places where I wouldn't normally go and communicate with people that I wouldn't normally communicate with, because these are also people who have concerns, who have worries, who have fears, just like we do. And it's not a world that I really knew existed before. So I've enjoyed my complacency being shaken up.
Thank you. Yes, Ken.
That can resonate with all the comments so far about being shaken up. Like maybe a topic that is at least close to the surface in this place is throughout my life I've seen, and I will confess I have the privilege of being white in a country like this, but I've seen discrimination and prejudice slowly start easing. And topics that could never be discussed, and now that come to public forum, being voted upon, and rights given to people that would never have happened 20 or 30 years ago. So it seems like there's a progression of society becoming more accepting of differences. And yet, I feel like this year there's been legitimacy given to prejudice and discrimination and exclusion. And I've never experienced that at such a high level before. That bothers me. That message. But I will say, instead of maybe relying on everybody else to make a difference, maybe it's something I can contribute to in trying to make the world the way I think it should be and not the way that some people describe it as being. So maybe the thing comes back to me to make the difference and not rely on somebody else.
Thank you. Galina?
I've looked at the whole situation and I thought, where can I respond positively? And there was a column in the New York Times, and this columnist said, well, if you're upset about this, you can give money to that. If you're upset about this, that. And there was five things, and one was, if you want to give money to people who are looking for birth control, you can send money to them. If you're upset about the situation in Syria, you can give money to these doctors who are working on the line. If you want to protect journalists, you can give money to these people. If you want the free press, you can get a subscription to a good newspaper, and so on. And my husband and I talked it over, and yes, we want to send a little bit of money to each one of these organizations to keep these things strong. What else can I do? I can buy a little toy and put it in the basket at the Starbucks. What can I do? I can work for civil rights. I can work for environment. Not spend my time talking about, oh, ain't it awful, but what can I do? How can I respond in a creative way?
Thank you. Buddy? Brenda, excuse me.
For me, I felt like it was the election was one of pain for a lot of people. I felt like I agreed with Hernan that there are two Americas, and one being more rural and one sort of city-based fundamentally. And if you look at the demographics, it's a lot of the blues are all sort of in the cities, on the coast and in the main cities. And that a lot of people in the countryside, I don't think, I've talked with a number of people and I've found some hidden Trump voters, even in California. And I asked them why they vote and for Trump. And they were not racist always, and they were not, a lot of people were economically focused, but fundamentally even, and sometimes those things are combined as well, but it seemed like it was a vote of severe pain, that something was going on that at a very deep level people are feeling displaced, they're feeling alienated by the current society and the movements of society, and they don't know what else to do. So it was kind of throwing a brick at the White House, equivalent. And so I don't think people had answers, but they had lots of questions, and so the Trump vote was a little bit like the vote in Britain, perhaps, and the Brexit vote, which is, I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it. Help us out.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody? Yes, please.
There are two things for me. One is what I think, and the other thing is what I feel. What I think, and I've thought for a long time, is that the world is getting very, very stressed, and increasingly so. And it has finally come to the U.S. We are very, very much protected from it, and it has finally come here. What we have taken for granted, I think, is that things that happen elsewhere, where people are in a lot of pain and despair, is now coming here, and we see the outcome of that. What I feel for me is that I feel very grateful that for a long time now, for myself, I have been practicing a lot of the, to make it short, I call it Buddhist teachings for myself. And with that, I'm grateful to know the way, that is, to realize that we are good and bad and everything. And the thing to do for me is to practice, equanimity and love and that sort of thing. And it's useful to have that practice. But I'm grateful I have that.
Good. Thank you. Yes, please.
For me, I feel humbled by not so much the result of the election, but what led up to it. Leading up to it, I got a sense of just how much of an echo chamber that we live in California. I imagine it's the same in other parts of the country too, no matter what side we're on. I was lucky enough to talk to someone who is on the opposite side of me, and it was eye-opening to actually talk to them and discover that they had good points and that some of the things that I thought weren't necessarily true. And so I came into this election season thinking I knew everything. But then I came out of it thinking that I don't know as much as I thought I did, and so that humbled me, and it shook me up a little.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, please.
In my past experience, I have seen so many elections, and my point of just my personal opinion is they have never been clean. And when I see the campaigning where they pull the dirt, it's something not really nice. So I have never seen a clean election for a long time. So I can't do anything about it. But I think we can. One election is in our hand, is having compassion. If doesn't matter white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever it is, if the person is in pain, needs help, we can help with whatever we can. Every time, yes, money is one way of supporting a cause. That's one way. But compassion and feeling for somebody and just saying that it's okay and being there in the community for each other, I think that is something we can elect.
Thank you.
The other election, we don't have control.
Thank you. Yes, Richard.
I've been feeling, I was shocked on election night. I was really surprised by this and disappointed. And what you were saying, what led up the last year and a half of season of the dialogue. I have most of my family is very conservative, and some of my clients are too. My cousins even, and I find myself feeling very detached, very separate from them. Not just like I'm an outside observer of. I feel kind of detached from society even. And I have a sense like it's like some dark, ominous development in our society. I think there'll be negative things that could happen, and I think there'll be positive things as well. People caring for each other, however they can, like donating to causes. I hope that there are more positive things than negative things on the balance. In the long run, the positive kindness, you know, will take care of whatever problems have arisen. In the long run, it'll be resolved in some positive way. That's my hope.
Optimistic. Optimistic.
I think it might take a while.
Thank you. Yes, Bonnie.
So it's been, was pretty overwhelming to deal with at first. It was very personal for me. On one hand, I have some family that I know voted for Trump, and I also have, on the other hand, my boss of a year and a half who was Muslim, and him dealing with that and just being like, I can't believe this is happening in America. In America, you know, like they have this wonderful idea of America, and to see all the hateful things and have people scared for their families. And, you know, since this has happened, there's been that. There's in the hometown where I grew up, a black musician was murdered as a hate crime. And what else has happened? Like, I have a friend who had been raped a few months ago and who I was trying to convince to report it. And she said, after the election, there's no way I'm reporting it. It will just bring up pain, and it kind of just legitimizes, it's personal. I see that there's real suffering happening. But it's also been very mixed. On the other hand, the ACLU raised like many millions of dollars within a couple weeks by people who were not happy with the outcome of the election. I've never seen so many peaceful protests happening without any vandalism, just completely organized, tens of thousands of people. You know, there were like 15,000 marching in Los Angeles. They plan to have like a million women march after the inauguration in Washington, D.C. And so I think there's, as much as it's stirred up a lot of separation and confusion and fear, there's also been a really big backlash of, wait a minute, we need to talk about this. This isn't right. And, you know, what's been happening at Standing Rock and the back and forth, it's like the oil companies, who are extremely powerful, tried to shut down the media. And then it turned out that the indigenous people were getting pepper sprayed. They were getting hit with rubber bullets, really wounded, lost an eye, I think, one person. But they stood their ground, and now it's, at least for now, held off. We'll see what happens after the inauguration. But, I mean, it's interesting. It actually shows that when people are uniting, then that can conquer almost against immeasurable odds. I mean, they use no weapons, no force. So I'm feeling like we have to be ready for anything. We have no idea how this is going to turn out. And we just, you know, we can't fight separation with more separation. We can't fight hate with more hate. So all we can do is just be aware of what's going on and do what we can to kind of diffuse the situation. Diffuse, because I feel like even the people who are attacking out of hate crimes, they're doing it because their buttons have been pushed. They're buttons that say someone's taking things away from you. So we have to learn how to kind of de-escalate. Oh, I've seen also there's been these really great videos posted on Facebook on what to do if you're witnessing a hate crime. How do you diffuse the situation? You go and talk to the person who's being, you know, go sit next to them and try to just calm things down. And really great videos. I've never seen strategies like this before on how to show solidarity for people who are being victimized. And, you know, the safety pin that they've used in Brexit has been very successful as well. So on one hand, I'm very discouraged by the election. On the other hand, I'm very encouraged by the reaction of the people and coming up with just creative ways to stand together and show solidarity. So it's been very interesting.
Thank you. Thank you.